Hey, everybody. Ray Brehm here. Welcome to the podcast that will help you increase the income and influence of your book, Beyond Royalties. Book Profit Secrets with Ray Brehm starts now.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to another amazing session. Just me today. Wanted to tell you a quick story about, and this is the moral to the story is about entrepreneurship and, of course, writing your book, all those good things. But the date was back in May of 1982, and it's an early Saturday morning. My dad, my cousins, two older cousins, and I were heading out for the 1982 Vermilion Boat Club Bowl, motoring out in our Tartan 10, which is a one design class sailboat. For a race, and it was called the Vermilion Boat Club Bowl, the VBC Bowl. And it was a kind of an eerie day. It was really overcast, light winds, and we just got our sails ready. We get up and start heading out about 6. The race generally would start around 8 a.m. And this was a long, big, basically a triangle. You go upwind the first leg, you reach the second leg, and then you're kind of downwind the last leg back to the right outside of the Vermilion Lagoon's entryway, the breakwall, and so forth. And this was an odd day. We were heading out, and we had been racing this for a few years, hadn't really won. My dad was a great sailor. He was used to dominate. Him and my mom used to dominate down in Houston Woods near Cincinnati area, Dayton area, before I was born. And we head out there, and it was odd. There was a light breeze, but not much. And, you've got a power. So we just left the engine on and powered our way out to the starting line and then kind of got the sails up and started maneuvering around for the start of the race. And literally, when the race started, it was very light, and literally when the race started, almost all of the wind died. And on our way out, we had kind of noticed it, but as you're moving, it doesn't affect you as much. But once we started sailing, and once the race started, and the wind was so light, there was barely any ripples on the water. And this is Lake Erie. It's huge. So that's pretty rare to be that glassy of kind of a surface. And there was a infestation of these tiny little mosquitoes all over and I don't know if they're the type that didn't bite, but they were all over. And they just started, because we had slowed down, ever since we slowed down, they'd started landing on us and just all over us. And they weren't biting or anything, but we had our foul weather gear on. It was kind of misty and so forth. So that's, if you don't know, foul weather gear is, it's like a raincoat, but you get pants too, and some, maybe you might even wear boots if you need to, just so you don't get soaking wet while you're racing. And we had it on, and probably would have taken it off by then, but it was still kind of chilly, a little misty, and there was just bugs they were all over us, all over the seats, all over the deck. You could see them landing on the sails, and it was just like a infestation of bugs out there. So we started, and as we moved around and sat there, we would smash them. They wouldn't move. They might have been just newly hatched. I don't know. But they were starting to get marks all over us, all over the boat. You could try to wipe them off your sleeves and would just massively squash them. And then literally like 30 minutes later, there was the same thing. It was like this massive amount of just tiny flies were out now, and if you looked at the water, it was so glassy, they were just floating on the water. They started landing all over the boat. They started eating the dead mosquitoes off of us, and basically like a plague almost of these insects. And I recall vividly that I'd look at where my dad was sitting as the skipper at the helm. And, he would switch sides as needed as we tacked and so forth. But both seats, and these sailboats are pretty much white fiberglass. Both seats were pure black from just the amount of flies and mosquitoes, but mostly the flies that had been smashed by this, just by sitting there and not moving. They're just sitting there, I don't know, hypnotized, whatever they were doing. They were all over the boat. And part of the reason they could do this and did do this is that there was so little air. And so, this is what I'll always recall is, you know, the race started and everybody was just basically sitting. And my dad's like, everybody on the low side. So the low side's kind of where the sail is on that side as you're heading into the wind. And to get a little bit of tilt to the boat, that would just help it keep moving, help the lift on the sails and so forth. And I remember sitting there and looking at the water. And I'd look back at my dad, and he never took his eyes off the sails. And really, that's what you should do as a skipper. You're just making sure the sails, the air is flowing across the sails. You've got these little strips of material called telltales that will tell you if the air is flowing the way you want it to move at the fastest speed possible. And when you're heading into the wind, it's tough. You can't go directly into wind, so you've got to tack at an angle back and forth towards, and usually they make the first mark directly upwind. And so I just remember sitting there thinking, this is just, let's just turn the engine on and go back in. We knew it was a long race. But there's no wind. Nobody was moving. We're looking at these other boats and their sails are completely draped, just hanging down. And ours is just lightly furled. And every once in a while it would flap like there's just no wind, but there's just a slight breeze. And I looked down at the water and literally these flies in the water are just inching by, but we are moving. And my dad was just saying, we got to keep the boat moving. If we stall, we'll never get it moving again because it's a big 33-foot sailboat. And so the whole time it was just like, I remember I can't believe I drank this crap back in the day, but we had our, whatever Pepsis inside our foul weather gear, inside our raincoats basically. And we'd sip it from in there. So flies and these bugs, they were all over. We didn't want them getting in our drinks. And we're sitting there hanging our feet off the low side. If you've ever seen the America's Cup, it's similar to that. And, where they're, they move everybody down to the low side and try to get some little bit of tilt to the boat to make it go faster. Anyway, but I'll always recall, I just don't know. And then it got really foggy. We couldn't even see any of the other boats. And so my dad was an expert at sailing based on compass headings and so forth. And, we really couldn't tack a lot. If you tacked, you could stall. So, but he just kept heading and literally was hours. I think it took probably 5 or 6 hours to get that first mark, which, if you had any reasonable wind, you might be there in an hour or less in prior races. And it was like hot and sticky and humid. There was these bugs and then dead bugs everywhere. And you didn't feel like eating and it's just uncomfortable. And you couldn't really walk around because you didn't want to disturb the boat and the sails because there's just such light wind. But he just kept watching the sails and he'd tell us to look out for stuff. And I just remember watching and to me at the time I was young and I'm like, man, this sucks. I just want to go back home, go to the beach, whatever. And, but it was just, we just kept moving foot by foot, inch by inch, forward, forward, forward. And it was so foggy. We finally passed that first mark and we tacked and we were reaching to the second mark and then to head home. And the wind picked up a little, but not a lot that second leg. But right before we got to the third leg, the wind kind of picked up a little bit. And just, still not a ton. And it was, we could see a couple boats ahead of us. They had turned and they were headed home. And the key thing was for us, there's other boats in the race that we were competing against. And we had a 3/4 mast rig. So that means our jib, the sail in front, only went up 3/4 of the way. So my dad was always saying, Ray, you got the good eyes. Go check. Are those boats ahead of us? They're way out there. Are they? And I had to use binoculars actually to do it, but are they full mast rigs or 3/4? And they were both full. And it's like, no, they're both full. They're both full. So as far as we could tell, we were in the lead of the Tartan 10 class because we all had 3/4 length rigs. And And so we popped the spinnaker. The wind picked up. We came home and, you know, we crossed the finish line and boom, we got a gun, which meant we won. And I'd never forget that. You know, I've raced so many times. That's the only race I vividly recall the entire race of. And the key takeaway was we blew away all the other boats in our class because they were just sitting there like, well, there's no wind. Let's just sit here. And my dad was just like, yeah, there's a little bit of wind. You just don't move. And, you know, one person's going to keep and look out for, you know, the mark. And I'm going to look at the sails and I'm going to keep looking at the compass and the sails and just make sure we're heading in the right direction and that we're slowly moving. And I guarantee you, all the other boats were kind of like, you know, well, we'll just wait for the wind to pick back up. And he was like, there's just enough wind. As long as we don't stop, we're in good shape. And I'll always remember that. And I came back to him years later and I said, you know, I always remember that because it was about just keeping the boat moving, just keeping momentum, just keep going forward. And that little bit, which to me, I would have turned around, turned the engine on, head back to the beach, that little bit of effort, that boredom, the frustration of just not getting results fast and not feeling like the boat was moving fast, that made, you know, that was easy to succumb to. And my dad said, just keep focused. And I remember just thinking, this is the most boring stuff. I'm looking at my feet dangling over the water. The water is almost completely flat like a mirror with flies all over it. But there's just enough movement. We're just moving along enough. And he, you know, he even had to kind of play, you know, the wind changes direction slightly all the time. So he's always watching, always making tiny little adjustments. And it just took perseverance, persistence, patience, and keeping moving forward. And if you think about that as an entrepreneur, as an author, whatever you're doing, you know, even if you're just writing, if you're writing your book right now and you're, you know, just write a paragraph a day or two sentences a day or one sentence a day or write down an idea every day, something to keep everything moving forward. One of my mentors, Troy Broussard, talks about this in one of his books, this just being consistently mediocre. You may think you're just being mediocre, but when you do it consistently, you do amazing things and it's just not visible on the day to day. But when you get done, if you wrote a, you know, a chapter a day or even a paragraph a day, how much would you have done in a year? That's the same. That's what I think of every time I think of like, this isn't moving fast enough. It's consistently moving forward, staying in motion. Key concept for entrepreneurs. So I really wanted to share that with you because that's made a difference. There's been so many days in my journey, whether I'm writing, creating a program, promoting, writing emails, all this stuff. And there's days when I've been working for 8 hours and felt like nothing got accomplished, and, you know, or even weeks at a time. And then you have sales or you put up a product and you sell all kinds of stuff. And that's just the nature of entrepreneurship. There's ups and downs. But the key is to consistently move forward. And there's some days where I don't, you know, I just don't feel like doing a darn thing. And so then I say, well, what's the kind of the most brainless thing I can do? Maybe there's something I can even do. I could listen to a podcast while I'm doing it because I don't have to think through. So maybe I'm not writing, but I've got to build out this funnel, or I've got to get all these videos uploaded into Vimeo and organized or whatever for a summit. That stuff's not fun. And a lot of times I'll, you know, if I can get that outsourced, in most cases I can, but if I can't, those are the tasks that's like, I'll do those that are kind of commodity tasks, brainless tasks, just to keep things moving, just to keep getting things done so I could check some things off my list. Some days feel way more productive than others, but those others are the ones that kept me moving, got some of those ugly, unwanting to do things off my plate and just kept me moving forward to my goals. So I encourage you to always keep your boat moving and always keep yourself in motion towards what your dream is. Thanks for joining me, and we will see you on the next session.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining me on this episode of Book Profit Secrets. You know, Abraham Lincoln once said if he had 6 hours to chop down a tree, he would spend the first four sharpening his axe. That's what this podcast is meant to do. That's also what we do on our site, our companion site, ray.fm. So check us out there and sharpen your axe, increase your influence, income, and audience. We'll see you next time.